بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وقال ربكم ادعوني أستجب لكم، صدق الله العظيم. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: الدعاء مخ العبادة، أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. Respected and honorable ulama ikram, beloved brothers, elders, mothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, all praise and all thanks belongs to Allah Jalla Jalaluhu wa Amma Nawaluhu, who is our creator, our sustainer, our nourisher. And may the choices, blessings and durood of Allah be sent upon our beloved guide, our spiritual mentor, Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, forever and ever. Ameen. Alhamdulillah, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages each one of us that we should turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala earnestly and sincerely and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fulfill our needs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. And tell them, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if we want our needs to be fulfilled, then turn unto Allah, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill your request. Allah ta'ala will accept your du'as. So we are encouraged in the Quran and in the ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make dua to Allah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had taught us from the ahadith we learn, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions and he says, "Ad-du'a mukhul ibadah," that dua is the essence of a person's ibadat. When a person sincerely, humbly turning to Allah Ta'ala, very sincerely he spreads his hands and he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, understanding and knowing in his heart that no one can fulfill my needs besides Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at him with mercy and Allah Ta'ala fulfills his needs. In another hadith we actually find that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, "Ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah." Dua, it's ibadat on its own. It is the essence of ibadat. It's ibadat, it is the ibadat and the crux of our ibadah on its own. Dua is the weapon of a believer. So, my beloved listeners, we find, alhamdulillah, the encouragement that has been mentioned in the Quran and the ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to turn unto Allah ta'ala, to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is great. And we find it often repeated in the Quran Kareem and the ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make dua to Allah ta'ala to fulfill our needs. Now, that is one aspect of a person's dua. But together with dua, and turning unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala individually, my beloved listeners, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we find one of the practices of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba was that they used to take du'as from the next person. They used to take du'a from the next person. In fact, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in one hadith and he says that the du'a of a Muslim brother for his next Muslim brother is more likely to be accepted in a court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because when you make dua for the next person, then we find that there is an angel that is appointed by Allah to say Ameen to that dua. And ulama explain and they say that we know that when an angel says Ameen to a person's dua, then definitely that dua is accepted in a court of Allah Ta'ala. And the angel does not only makes dua for that person, for your dua to be accepted for the next person, but he also says that may Allah grant you the same. May Allah grant you the same. So this is a great virtue mentioned for making dua for the next person. And to take du'as from the next person is also a practice that we find very, very common amongst the Sahaba. Sahaba would come to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They would say, O Nabi of Allah, make dua for us. And they would take du'as from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Or sometimes they would make khidmat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and serve Nabi alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would also make dua in turn for them serving Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Sahaba, we find amongst themselves, they would make dua for one another. And in this way, alhamdulillah, they would fulfill this aspect of deen also, where they would make dua for the next person. Just to cite a few examples, we find the mother of Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, her name was Umm Sulaym radiallahu ta'ala anha. And when the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Madinatul Munawwara, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam required and he requested that he needed someone to assist him, a younger person that can make his khidmat and serve him and do the running around, etc. So Umm Sulaym radiallahu ta'ala anha thought about her son, Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala an, and she said that what an opportunity Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked our household to find Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has requested from our home that someone, that we should find someone for him. And she says that, why should I look far? I have my own son in my house who is 10 years old at that time. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, she says, I will offer my own son, Sayyidina Anas, to serve Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala was only 10 years old at that time, and he stayed with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and served Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for approximately 10 years. That means when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had passed on, Sayyidina Anas was only 20 years old. But he served Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for approximately 10 years. And look at his service and what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did for him after him serving Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and making the khidmat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He earned the du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what du'a did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam make for him? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allahumma arzuqhu malan wa waladan wa barik lahuma fihima. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him in his wealth, and Allah bless him in his wealth, and Allah bless him in his progeny. Now look at the effect of the dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sahaba say that amongst the Ansar, the wealthiest Sahabi was Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala an. Every year, when it was time to harvest the crop, then everyone else's crop would be harvested once a year. But Sayyidina Anas would harvest his trees and his crop twice a year because of the barakat of the dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah ta'ala blessed him in his progeny to such an extent that it is mentioned that Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to make tawaf of the Kaaba of the Baytullah, and around him would be many of his grandchildren, hundreds of them, and hundreds of his great-grandchildren. And Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu saw and buried with his own hands many of his great-grandchildren, hundreds of them. This is all through the barakat of the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is when we serve some and then the next person and we take the duas of the next person, this is what we will attain. There was another sahabiya by the name of Ummi Haram bint Milhan radiallahu ta'ala anha. In fact, she was the sister of Ummi Sulaym radiallahu ta'ala anha. It mentioned that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would come to her home in the evening, in the afternoon at the time of Qaylula, and he would take his Qaylula, a little nap at the time after the Zuhr Salah, at the home of Ummi Haram bint Milhan radiallahu ta'ala. So one day Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got up from his sleep, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was smiling. So Ummi Haram asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, O Nabi of Allah, why are you smiling? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah gave me basharat and glad tidings in my sleep, in a dream, that later on in my ummah, there will be a naval fleet, a naval force that will go out in the path of Allah Ta'ala, and they will be traveling on the ocean, on their ships. They will be they will be on their ships like how kings recline on thrones. So these were glad tidings that were given to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Ummu Haram, she said, O Nabi of Allah, make dua that Allah Ta'ala includes me in this group that is going out in the path of Allah. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the dua for her. Now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam slept again, and when he woke up again, he was smiling again. And he said, Oh Ummi Haram, I saw the similar dream. So she said, O Nabi of Allah, make dua that I am also from this group. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you are from the first and not the second. Now later on, eventually when the prophecy and this basharat had come true, become a reality, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not alive at that time. But Ummi Haram was alive, and she participated in the first group that went out in this naval fleet. And it is mentioned when she was coming off the ship, she had fallen from the animal and she had fallen down and she passed away as a shahida, as a martyr in the path of Allah Ta'ala. Now imagine Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you will be from the first and not from the second. Look how the dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was accepted in her favor, and she attained this this rank of martyrdom while striving in the path of Allah Ta'ala. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala was another great sahabi of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On one occasion, he had actually served Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, providing the wudu water of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, taking care of some aspects of the serving Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, making the khidmat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for him that Allah ta'ala give him an understanding of deen, the knowledge of Quran. They say that the most knowledgeable person in aspects of the Quran Kareem, the mufassir of the ummah, was Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, because of the dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent one sahabi on one occasion to go to the marketplace and purchase a sheep for him. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given the sahabi one dirham. So when the Sahabi thinking that, you know what, it is for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so he started thinking in the best interest for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he looked around the marketplace and he found that, you know, a place where he could purchase 2 sheep for 1 dirham. And then he purchased the both sheep and he sold 1 sheep and he got 1 dirham back. And he came back to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, "Oh Nabi of Allah, there is your 1 dirham and there is the sheep also." So he transacted in the best interest for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that here I am the representative of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and let me deal in the best interest of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for him that Allah bless him in his life. My beloved brothers, one, the narrator of this hadith says, when I used to come to the home of the Sahabi, I used to see many, many camels and horses. And he used to say that all this is through the dua and the barakat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you see, when we serve people, when we take the duas of one or of the next person, then inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these duas are highly likely to be accepted in a court of Allah ta'ala. Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu was returning with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day, and his horse or his camel was not moving very, very fast. It was an older camel or older horse. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made dua for him, wada'a lahu, and for the animal. Nabi sallam prodded the animal and the animal started moving very, very fast. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam also asked him to sell him that animal. So it shows that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam made dua and Allah accepted that dua on behalf of that sahabi. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, we know the sacrifices that Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to make for deen, and how much of sacrifice he made, and how much of hunger he went through. One day Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calls him and tells him, "Oh Sayyidina Abu Huraira, bring the little dates and that kajur that you have." Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made dua for him, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Place this in a certain bag, and Do not look into this bag and continue eating from there." Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala says, "I ate in the time of Nabi alayhi salam without looking inside. I used to feed other people. I used to hand out to my friends. I didn't look into this bag. I didn't refill it. It lasted right up to the khilafat of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Eventually, when Sayyidina Uthman was martyred, and then he says, from that day onwards, I lost my bag and I couldn't find it again. But so much of barakah and blessings in one little bag of dates. This was through the du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." So my beloved listeners, alhamdulillah, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us these opportunities also for our du'as and our needs to get fulfilled, is that when we fulfill the needs of the next person, there are so many poor people in our communities, there are so many needs of deen, madrasas, institutions, or of assisting one another. And really, when we help and assist the next person, then we will find that those people will give us du'as from their heart. And when du'as come from the heart, then those du'as are readily accepted. And let us try and fulfill the needs of the ummah. And also remember that many a times people hear that there is a certain great alim that is coming here. Another mashayikh are coming there. And certain pious people are coming there. So everyone flocks to them to take their du'as. What we don't realize and don't understand, that we have du'as, we have the doors of our du'as, doors of our du'as within our homes. And those of us that have our parents alive, let us go to our parents and ask them to make du'a for us. Make their khidmat, serve them. Ask them to make du'a for us every day before we leave our home. Take the du'as of our parents, of our mothers, and inshallah, the du'as of a parent are accepted on behalf of their children. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability, inshallah, to take du'as from the next person, also to make du'a ourselves. But also remembering that we can take du'as from the next person. Go to our asatiza, our ustaz, our teachers, our parents, our elders in our community, and ask them to make du'a for you. We never know whose du'a can go how far in our life, and whose du'a will be accepted on our behalf. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire one and all, inshallah. Give me the tawfiq first, and give you the tawfiq, and give the entire ummah the tawfiq to practice on whatever has been said, inshallah. Ameen. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين جزاكم الله